Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
May is Maytag Month, and Menards is passing the savings on to you. You need reliable and energy-efficient appliances to conquer the day. Menards is your one-stop shop with appliances in stock and ready to take home today. Check out our top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Save big money on Maytag appliances at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. Caroline, Willie, D-Maze, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studio, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. Jonathan Hutton from Outkick's Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow will join us in 1 hour, so we'll get all of Hutton's thoughts on the Titans media availability yesterday. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, happy Wednesday. How are we doing today?
Doing well. A little nervous. We've got the next chapter in the story here for the USN Tigers.
Ooh.
Elite Eight tonight in Knoxville. Best 2 out of 3 against CAK.
All right.
Good luck. Safe travels.
We pull it off on the road. We went west on Saturday to Jackson. Now we got to go east to Knoxville. If you win, you're in the Final Four. Yeah. So
let's go.
Fingers are crossed for you and Mahoney.
On. All right, let's go.
Let's go.
D-Maze's mic's not on.
D-Maze got cut off. It's 11:01.
The light's on. I can't hear myself.
We're not hearing headphones.
It's okay. Something's wrong.
They're not hearing me.
Nick is already so fed up with D-Maze that he just cut him off.
Just cut my mic off already. Damn it.
You cannot silence Derek Mason.
You cannot silence the voice of the people. All right.
All right. Well, as we work on D-Maze's mic, is his mic on?
It's not on.
It's not on.
Yes, Derek, you are live.
No, it's not on. I promise you.
He's on.
He's not. Why are we not hearing?
I can't hear.
Yeah, they can't hear me. I can't hear myself.
Because I bet his jack does not work. So I have a replacement.
But why are
for
we
you.
Not hearing him then?
It's
because his jack's not plugged in.
It is plugged in.
He may not have the right adapter.
It's the right adapter. I've been using an adapter for the last three months.
Corner. I think it's a sabotage.
Yeah.
I think Nick is secretly sabotaged. He plays all innocent back there. Mm-hmm. He's smiling, but something's up.
Yeah.
What'd you do to Nick, D-Maze?
He's been plotting this back in his cave. He's silencing the people.
I gave Nick some chocolate covered almonds not too long ago, so I should be on his good side.
Nick, this is how you repay the man. He gives you chocolate covered almonds,
and this man. Is how you treat this.
And you cut his mic.
Wow. Man. The people can't hear me. Well, the people probably can't hear me, but my partners can't hear me. I can't really hear myself.
The text line says they can hear D-Maze.
Well, the text line can hear me.
Really, and I just can't hear D-Maze.
Dang. God. This is weird, man. It's like I'm in a 3D dimension where it's like.
I feel like you're talking to me.
Yeah, exactly.
Like three rooms over.
Like we're using the old, you know, Campbell's can to talk. From a mile away.
Through a string?
Yeah.
Well, the people can hear D-Maze.
Well, the people can hear me. Let's go.
The people can hear D-Maze. Is D-Maze coming through loud and clear, though? That's the question. Or is he coming through partially in your mic and my mic, Caroline? Is that the...
I don't know.
Could that be the case?
I can't even hear Nick.
Where's the suit?
There we go.
Oh, we got it.
I didn't do anything. I hit the desk.
No, I really don't know. I have you... Nothing changed on my end. I had to Fred Sanford.
Y'all know, you seen Fred Sanford when he got to get his glasses. He hit the cabinet like 3 or 4 times, boom, 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 boom. Then he got to pull it out. That's what I just did. I had to hit the desk about 2 or 3 times.
I genuinely do not know what happened.
I don't either.
I know what I was thinking? It was in living color. Remember, it's a C-O-N-spiracy.
That's what it is.
That's what it was.
People didn't want to hear my take this morning.
Takes so hot they melted the microphone. Jeez. Well, now that we can all hear D-Maze, you know, listeners and Willie and I, let's get into it.
Now we're ready.
Some Titans veterans were up at the podium yesterday, and it kind of feels weird to call Treylon Burks a veteran. You have him a rookie.
He's still not a veteran.
To a vet, real
He's
quick.
He's not a veteran. He's not a veteran.
Titans second year player. It was good to hear from Daniel Brunskill. It was good to hear from some of the veteran Titans players. And we also heard from Treylon Burks. And all throughout the offseason, we've been kind of talking about this Titans wide receiver core and saying, well, if Treylon Burks can be a wide receiver one, if Treylon Burks can take a step forward from what he was this past season. And I'm very much so a I'll believe it when I see it kind of person. I can be optimistic about mm-hmm. it, but I'll really truly believe it when I can see it out on the field, when I see it in the box score. But at least from what I've heard from Treylon Burks, so at least from what we heard from him yesterday, I'm not going to believe it until I see it. But I do feel optimistic because there were two kind of issues that Treylon Burks was facing this past season at rookie minicamp, kind of getting acclimated into training camp. The first was his asthma that really held him back at the beginning of training camp. And he was starting off his NFL career a couple steps behind. But Treylon Burks says, so far, so good with his asthma.
You mentioned your breathing, how much calibrating the asthma and the weather and all of that last year. I imagine it was much more difficult than you expected. How much have you kind of figured out everything now?
I would just say that's why I've been here, just making sure that I'm running in the heat. When I do get that feeling, you know, I know how to control it now, just being here with Todd and running with him out there or running with the strength coaches. Frank doing a good job of, you know, managing what I'm doing and not overdoing something. So it just all goes back to me being here throughout the whole offseason and getting that under control.
A couple things there. He stayed here during the offseason, which I think is good. I don't think it's a bad thing if players decide to go to Cabo or wherever mm-hmm. to go train if you can come back and be 100%. But obviously, Treylon Burks was not 100% last year. So I like that he stayed here. And it sounds like what was holding him back this year doesn't seem like it's going to be as big of a problem this year in his asthma. So I am at least encouraged by what I've heard.
Well, I mean, I take it as this is what I expected. I think what people got to understand is this. When these rookies come in, because we don't have the privilege of seeing other rookies on other teams and how they adapt and, you know, acclimate themselves to, you know, the weather or whatnot. Typically, you know, if you're going up north, it's probably not as bad when you first get into camp, rookie camp, because it's still a little bit cool and, you know, You typically can kind of push through it. Even if you're a little bit out of shape, you can kind of push through it because it's not as hot and muggy. But when you come to the South, that's what you're going to run into. Hell, I ran into it in Houston, and I prided myself on being in top condition. That's just how I've always been, being a former track guy. I was like constantly run. And even then, I was winded at times because of, you know, me coming from Michigan, going to Houston and having to deal with that whole dramatic change of weather that during that time of the year. It was June, and June in Michigan is hot, but it's not hot like Houston.
But you went from Michigan to Houston.
Yeah.
Treylon Burks went from Arkansas to Tennessee.
And still, I'm not saying he wasn't out of shape, because mm-hmm. he probably was. And I've said this many times. Injuries with young guys don't surprise me. Soft tissue injuries with young guys don't surprise me early on. If you do the study, there's probably more than what we typically would imagine. Again, because we don't see other teams, and we don't see the undrafted rookie free agent that's dealing with hamstring issues or somebody, you know, just other people. Because why? Because they are conditioning for what? The combine.
Yeah,
they are working out for the combine. They are not conditioning for NFL season. And a lot of times these young men, seasons end the end of December or the middle of December. And as soon as they get off the field, their seniors or juniors entering the draft, they start preparing for the combine. They don't prepare for a season. They're comparing to position themselves in the draft. So when they come in the first year, I'm not surprised by soft tissue injuries or guys a little bit out of shape. I expect the next following year, if they are professionals and pros, they will come in because they understand what's asked of them and what they can expect coming into it. So I'm not surprised that I expected Treylon Burks to come in here and be healthy and ready to go. If he didn't, then that would be a huge alarm for me. That tells me he doesn't take it serious. You know, but I knew he would come in shape, because what you do? You learn from the year prior, you stay here, you work out. Even if he had left and wasn't so aware, he knew exactly what to do to get his body ready. But he chose to stay here, which was a good thing for all young guys. Stay here the first year, that first offseason, stay in town, work out with the conditioning coach, get yourself ready so they at least know you're in shape. I am not surprised by what Treylon Burks said. I'm not surprised that he's going to be in shape. Everybody should have saw this. He wasn't going to be the player he was last year as far as coming into camp.
Now, we can go back through why everything happened last year. Mm-hmm. And hopefully he did, right, to learn. But the fact is there's nothing he can do about what happened mm-hmm. last year. All he can do is make sure he's corrected and learned about himself. And sounds like in what we're hearing, he did quite a bit of, you know, looking back and figuring out, okay, how do I excel in this area here? That's part of being a pro. So I'm hoping that all of that helps ramp up his development. He's such a critical player. We knew the moment they made that trade and drafted him how important he was going to be for the next 5, 7, hopefully more than that, years with this team. And part of being a great player is not just having the ability to produce, but also being available, learning mm-hmm. about your body. How do you take care of your body? How do you stay out there the whole time? And then, of course, other things derailed him during the season. It wasn't that he couldn't breathe during the games, so mm-hmm. he just got
turf toe, concussion.
Yeah, some different things. And he took that hard shot, which, you know, right where it really looked like he was so starting bad. To, you know, figure it out to mm-hmm. to a large degree. I thought it was going to be pretty exciting to see what he could do down the stretch. Just another in the series of devastating injuries mm-hmm. that just derailed the whole season. So, you know, it looks like he's doing everything he can on May the whatever we're at right now to be an improved, better player in year two than year one.
I'm more so worried about the turf toe, it affecting him again, because there's nothing you can do for that. You can be in great shape and still end up with an injury like that. So I think we should sort of pay attention to the turf toe rather than him. Oh, did he come back in shape, or is asthma going to bother him? Because to me, again, if he's a pro, which I believe he is, if he wants to get better and be great, which I believe he does, he will come back in shape.
And the turf toe does concern me, mm-hmm. but the conditioning part at least is in his control. Mm-hmm. When the turf toe starts to act up, of course you can go get treatment and you can get ice on it. You can do whatever you need to do to try and limit the turf toe getting in your way. But really, it's kind of out of your control.
Yeah.
The conditioning, that is in your control. Making sure that you are able to have the conditioning and the endurance to get through your first practice of the season. That's not something that he was able to do this past year. He couldn't even get through his first year of rookie minicamp. And I didn't necessarily, well, I didn't expect mm-hmm. him to come back ready to go. I did, because you're a first round draft pick mm-hmm. and this team needs you to be the number one wide receiver. So I do expect you to come back into practice and be in shape and be in the right condition that you can get through practices and you can be a contributing factor to this team. But also, it's not what we saw last year. So I'm at least encouraged that this year is already starting off on May 17th. It sounds like on a better note than last year, than this past season did. So what does that mean for Treylon Burks? Now that we're starting off on a better note, can this season be better than it was this past year? Can Treylon Burks be what John Robinson drafted him to be in year two? We'll get into that coming up next, and of course your thoughts on this as well. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game.
Treylon, what is it about that second year that allows guys to make that big of a jump, do you think?
I would just speak for myself, honestly. It just gives you confidence because you've already been in it. I got thrown into the fire, and, you know, I like being thrown into the fire, honestly, because it just makes you decide of who you are, what kind of player you're going to be in. It just makes it easier on me now because I can just concentrate on the things that I know that can make me better and not worry about the stuff in the past.
That was Treylon Burks on entering year two. And look, when we talk about that A.J. Brown, Treylon Burks trade, it's easy to say that the Titans lost in that trade. There's a winner and a loser. Philadelphia won, the Titans lost. Titans missed the playoffs, Philadelphia went to the Super Bowl. It's pretty easy to say. But trades, I don't think, can be graded or evaluated just off of 1 year, especially when you're looking at a rookie like Treylon Burks. So year two, it can completely rewrite that script of the A.J. Brown trade. Year two, it could come to fruition that Treylon Burks becomes what John Robinson drafted him to be, which was a younger, ideally healthier, and cheaper A.J. Brown. Now, I'm not saying that I know that that's going to happen for certain, But I'm saying that absolutely is what's on the table. And I think that's what the Titans need Treylon Burks to be. So what can he become in this second year, both what he can control and how he's utilized? Because it's not just Treylon Burks' second year coming in a little bit healthier, coming in with more understanding of this offense, more of an understanding of what's expected of him at the NFL level, but it's also a new offensive coordinator in Tim Kelly and how he chooses to use Treylon Burks within this offense.
Yeah, it's all going to be on him and well, not all of it's going to be on him. I think it's some of it will be. It's a 50-50 thing. Where they line him up and then what Treylon is able to do or what he shows them early on. I'm looking at his snaps. He had 324 snaps outside as a wide receiver, outside wide. He had 68 in the slot. That tells me that they strictly wanted to have him at one position because he was still learning the offense. And, you know, every once in a while they put him in a slot position, which is either they motioned him down into the slot, which means he still was playing that X or Z position and they just motioned him in, or they lined him up in there and he played the H or whatever they call it, the Y or the H. This year he has to prove that he can learn not only the position that he's designated, the X or the Y, the X or the Z, but he has to have the ability to learn. He has to show the ability that he's learned all positions, which means that 68 in the slot needs to go up. It needs to go up to it needs to be 100. Because if it's in 100, that's showing me that he's being versatile. They're using him. They're putting him outside. They're putting him inside. They're motioning him. They're doing things with him to try to get a matchup problem for the defense. If they just leave him outside, again, that shows me that is he picking up the offense? Is he picking up everything they want him to learn? Because if you're the number one guy in today's NFL, if you're the number one guy, they want to have the ability to move you around. They want to have the ability to put you in a slot, put you to the wide side, put you to the short side. If they don't have that ability, but you still are a good player, they're just going to put you at one position because you haven't shown the ability to learn all positions. So to me, it's sort of this 50-50 thing with Kelly and Burks. If Burks shows that he's picking up the offense and that he can learn multiple positions, that's good for him. More importantly, that's good for the organization because now I got my number one guy. I can line them up anywhere. Now the defenses, when they scout me, they can't just say, oh, we know where Treylon. Last year, they can tell Treylon's going to be on the outside. He's never really in the inside. These are scouting reports that you get, that defensive backs get. Now he's learned every position. Now I go into, as a defensive player, I don't know where this cat's going to be. He may be in the inside one series. He may be all in the outside. I mean, on the outside of one series. So they have to be able to use Treylon Burks in a versatile way, but that too falls on Treylon Burks as well because I may want to use him that way, but if he isn't picking up the offense, I can't.
You know, I when you say all this, Derek, what I think about too is just when you look at all of the pieces of the offense, mm-hmm. how much are you really going to put it around Treylon Burks? You know what I'm saying? It's like
you got to center your passing game around him.
Well, you would hope, yeah, right? But yeah, he's got to be worthy of that.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I struggle with. Like, if I spent all the time and energy in the offseason building my offense around, moving Burks around, and let's get all the strength, and he's not that great.
Well, you find that out.
Then what quickly am I doing to the rest of my offense? Or am I still like, hey, the bread and butter is Derrick Henry. I got Chigakonkwo is pretty good. I got, you know, I got some other tight ends now. Am I going to be a little bit more of a two tight end? You know, go big, you know, versatility, kind of matchup, kind of like what's the identity of the offense going to be? Is it evolving away from Derrick Henry a little bit to where you don't want to have to give it to him 300 plus times if you can help it? Where does the running back, you know, the other running backs come in there? These are all questions I have. Like, I would love it if Burks is good enough and shows them enough to where, like, hey, We got a game plan for this guy to get a lot of touches each week. But he's got to be out there every week. He's got to be productive when they do throw him the ball. And that's a big question mark, I think, right now. How much is he ready for that? I mean, if it's not him, it doesn't look like it could be anybody else.
That's what I think.
On the outside, anyway.
If not him, then who? Because it can't be him. Well, then that's a massive, massive mistake in trading A.J. Brown and drafting Treylon Burks. And that's not just isolated to year one. That looks very obviously lopsided, the A.J. Brown trade. But that's for the entirety of Treylon Burks' career, if he cannot grow into that eventual wide receiver one position. And I know that that's all water under the bridge at
right.
this point. The general manager who made that decision already has exited the building.
And you would really have some other salary cap questions to consider if A.J. Brown was starting to take up a big portion of the cap. So it would change a lot of the formula, for sure.
It would. And I think that if Treylon Burks shows us, especially at least what we've heard, and I'll take his word for it, that he has been conditioning, that he's been eating right, that he feels better, that he can breathe better, that he's already going into this season on a higher note physically. He's going into this season more prepared because he already has a year of NFL experience under his belt. He knows what's expected of him. Then you can expect that this year he'll start to look more like the wide receiver one the Titans need him to be, or is that wide receiver one that the Titans need him to be. If he can't do it this year, or he can't at least show signs of that this year, I don't know what that means for your team moving forward, because then you got nobody who can catch passes. And that sets your passing game back so much further, because we saw Will Levis struggle so mightily in college when he didn't have very many or experienced pass catchers to throw to this past season. So if Treylon Burks can't be that wide receiver one, if he isn't showing signs of progression, that's a really, really scary sign for this Tennessee Titans offense.
It is, but I don't think they're going to get there. I truly believe, from what I've seen, there's nothing telling me that he's not going, other than possibly injury, but from what I've seen of this young man, he is a number one receiver. Now, it's going to take him a minute. If you look at his number, had he played a full 17 games, he would have had, if not 1,000 yards, close to it. And then we wouldn't be thinking this about him. Like, man, is he really a number one receiver or not? I don't know. Maybe so. But had he played a full 17 games, the numbers would have been there to justify, okay, his second year, he will make that jump to being a number one receiver. We're just looking at it based upon the games he played, the injury history, and not necessarily his play. Because his play when he was on the field, the more and more he started to pick up the offense, the better he became. And we saw it in front of our eyes. But because he didn't play 17 games, because he missed a chunk of the season, it's like, okay, can he be that number one guy? Can he not?
Well, availability is a factor in that.
But it's not a factor in if you are a number one receiver or not. If you are a number one receiver, like Ja'Marr Chase, if Ja'Marr Chase misses six games, he's still a number one receiver, which he did miss.
He's proven to us
exactly,
that
he did miss, and he didn't have 1,000 yards this season. Ja'Marr Chase didn't because of the games he missed. But no one would ever say Ja'Marr Chase is not a number one receiver. But I understand why, because Ja'Marr Chase has proven, you know, each and every year that I am the number one guy, even with T. Higgins. Even T. Higgins has proven he's the number one guy, and he's not a number one guy for his team. Mm-hmm. He's 1B or 2. But if I'm looking at Treylon Burks, based upon the numbers, and I project him had he played 17 games, we will be looking at him like this year will be that year that he takes that leap. And we wouldn't be having this sort of, is he a number one guy? Is he not a number one guy? It's not like Corey Davis. Corey Davis, I always thought he was a damn good number two, but he wasn't a number one. He could be a number one for a game or two if he needed to be, but if you want, he can't carry your receiving core. He's a damn good two. Mm-hmm. He's not a one. Treylon is a one. He just needs to be able to stay on the field. I think this year he will be able to do that, and he will prove to everybody he's a number one guy.
I'll go back to what I said earlier. I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah.
I'm cautiously optimistic. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get into your thoughts on this, on Treylon Burks. Plus, how much of the Titans' ceiling and floor this upcoming season is dictated by Treylon Burks' ceiling and floor? We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline Willie D. Mace, 1025-1063 The Game.
a guy who was a rookie last year, Treylon Burks, heading into his sophomore season. What do you think he needs to do in his second season for the Tennessee Titans in that wide receiver room?
Well, I just think he needs to settle down. And, I mean, the important thing for him is just to stay healthy. And he had to deal with a couple of different things last year, from the toe to the asthma early to some other things that slowed him down. He just needs to be able to stay on the field and play and get more comfortable. I think, you know, last year, if I'm not mistaken, he made probably 12, 13 visits before the draft. And because of that, he wasn't able to stay in great shape. And then when the offseason program started, we all know what happened. So I've watched him this offseason. He's looked good. He's been out there every day. It looks like he's in really good shape. Mm-hmm. You know, we're supposed to talk to four guys today during the availability. I think he's going to be one of them. And I'll be curious just to see how he thinks things feel for him a year later. But, he's got a lot on him, because we all know what the state of that room looks like now. It's a young group, and a lot is going to be counted on him to kind of lead the way.
There you go. That was Jim Wyatt on Chase and Michelle earlier today. And I think that Jim Wyatt makes a very good point that box 1A for Treylon Burks this season, stay healthy, be available. Because last year, majority of the time that Treylon Burks was out in the field, he looked good. He had a couple of rookie mistakes, a couple of drops here and there, but for the most part, he looked good. He just couldn't stay out on the field. So for his best contributions to the Titans this year, can you stay on the field? Can you stay healthy?
That's going to be the biggest thing. He had 444 yards in 11 games played, almost 14 yards a catch. So just say he plays 17 games. He's right somewhere in that 800-yard range, somewhere around there, 13, 14 yards per catch. That we are looking at him a lot different if those are his numbers, 17 games, over 800 yards, maybe 6 or 7 touchdowns, 14 yards a catch. We're looking at him totally different than what we're looking at him now, because he doesn't have a huge body of work in his first season, and then he comes in out of shape. And Jim was right. That's what people don't understand. It's like we're going to criticize him his rookie year for not coming in shape, and rightfully so. But we got to understand too why he wasn't in shape. And I'm pretty sure Vrabel and John, and at the time John Robinson, and that coaching staff knew that, okay, he's going to come in possibly a little bit out of shape. We know that all these rookies may come in a little bit out of shape. I don't think they expected what they saw. You know, you add in asthma and everything else, I think it made it harder for Treylon Burks. But I think once he started to get himself in shape, he had to basically play himself in shape, you know, his first year. That's why I always look at the second year for receivers, especially when you're picked that high. I know how it was for me my second year. It was a lot better. I felt a lot more comfortable. I knew exactly what it took to play in the NFL. I knew what I had to do in the offseason to make sure during the season, I was ready to go. So when I look at Treylon Burks, it's the same thing. He went through the same thing. It's like, okay, I'm excused the first year. You know, it is what it is. I expect you to come back the second year ready to go. And it looks like he has. So right now, everything is pointing toward this kid, you know, having an impact, a positive impact for this team. Now, again, like you said, until I see it, okay. But it seems like now, from a conditioning standpoint, things are headed in the right direction for him.
Here's the other thing about the until I see it, from my standpoint. Because it's easy for all of us to say, okay, he had 444 yards last year. You know, if he played all the games, he'll have X, you know.
They just try to project it out.
Yeah, you project it. But the thing that gives me a little bit of pause, in the efficiency categories that Football Outsiders puts out there, he wasn't super efficient with the 444, right? There's a lot of room for improvement there. And so, again, we're looking for a jump from year one to year two. All those variables that you're talking about, you know, how much was he kind of playing from behind because he started off behind, which happens to a lot of rookies, right? You get an injury early on, you're missing time, you're missing reps, you're catching up, and it's hard to play at your best when you're playing catch up the whole time. Then he had other setbacks that had him start over, so you're trying to catch that moving train. but he was below average in things like, you know, value, you know, efficiency, catch rate, you know, 61%. That's not ideal, right? He's 57th with that. You want him higher than that. He's a guy that should be catching a high rate of passes. He's not a guy that you're just throwing tons of bombs to. Like, the catch rate will be lower if you're throwing a guy a ton of passes only down the field. But there should be a mix to where he, if he's a number one, you want him up into that 65% to 70% range, ideally, right? So there's room for growth there. So that's what I'm saying. Like, when he was on the field, if there was this brilliance, then we could all say, wow, there's really a chance. If he just stays on the field, the numbers will be there. There's got to be improvement when he's been on the field, too.
Absolutely.
It's not just an availability. It's availability and development.
And that's what I'm hoping, at least, the availability and the health and the conditioning at this point will help. Because now that he's conditioned enough that he can actually stay on the field during practice, can he work through some of those kinks? Can he work up to that efficiency, that level that he needs to be at? Because I look at, if Treylon Burks can start to develop into becoming more of that A.J. Brown type of receiver that the Titans intended him to develop into, I think this Titans offense is in much better shape. And I have no reason to believe that it wouldn't reflect more of the 2021 offense than it would the offense of last season. Because look at 2021, it was A.J. Brown and the same squad of, you know, wide receiver threes and fours and guys off the practice squad. It was Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, Chester Rogers, Cody Hollister, you know, the same A.J. Brown and the cast of, you know, of supporting players. If Treylon Burks can develop into that player that can be relied upon like A.J. Brown, that can be that number one go-to target for Ryan Tannehill to say, just lob it up and say, F it, Treylon's down there somewhere, kind of how Ryan Tannehill would approach A.J. Brown in some games, I have no reason to believe that this Tennessee Titans offense can't go from the depths of the NFL to really just kind of middle of the pack, which propelled the Titans to the number one seed in the AFC in 2021.
Yeah.
But if he can't,
yeah,
you're right back where you were this past
season. If he can't, obviously you will be. But I would love for them to approach it from this standpoint. And Treylon should too. Because he's really, I like Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, I do, but Nick
he's
a 3-4. He's one of those guys. He'll come in and give you he'll make some of those tough catches that you need him to make at times. But he's not a guy that you're going to rely so heavily upon. He's that guy, that third or fourth guy that you can bring in, and he's going to make some plays for you. But this offense, from a passing standpoint, at this particular time, is zeroed in around Treylon Burks, yes, and Chigakonkwa. I understand those two guys. It's zeroed in around, but from on the outside, you're talking about receivers, it's zeroed in around Treylon Burks. This is what I would love for Treylon Burks to do. Take it upon yourself to say, listen, coach, I understand the whole analytics about, you know, rest and you got these monitors on me and all this other stuff. But listen, let's just act as if we're in high school and I'm that guy. I'm not coming out the game unless I tap my helmet and tell you I need to come out. Other than that, in practice, every time Ryan Tannehill or Will Levis is out there, I'm out there. I'm out there. Why? Because now you get used to that. The quarterbacks get used to the availability. The quarterbacks get to learn where you like things, where you don't, what's best, what's not. You get to learn the quarterback, where he likes to throw it in certain situations, all this other stuff. So if I'm trailing, I'm going to very upset. Listen, I understand everything that's going on. I get the analytics. I get the whole science behind it. But in order for me to get better, I need to be in practice. I need to be there every time Will Levis and Ryan Tannehill is on the field underneath center, I'm out there. No matter what, I am out there. I will tap my helmet and let you know when I'm ready to come out. Other than that, don't look my direction. I will go to my receiver coach more. And I'm sure Moore would appreciate that because he understands. He comes from that school of stay in the game. I come from that school. I never wanted to come out the game, ever. Because once I got in as a starter, you weren't taking that spot away from me. I knew how hard it took to get there. I wasn't coming out. Even in practice, I was in every play. Every play Steve was in, I was in. Every play Neil O'Donnell was in, I was in. Why? Because we had to build up that rapport. And I wanted them to know, you can rely on me no matter if we're running a two-minute drill and there's no break or we're just going through our regular offense. And that's what Treylon Burks has to – he has to take that upon himself and say, I got this, coach. I will let y'all know when I'm ready to come out the game.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll continue to get back into your texts, your calls, and your thoughts on Treylon Burks. But coming up next, the fate of a former Nashville athlete might not look so great for the future for a current Nashville athlete. We'll explain coming up next. And I join 1025 and 1063 The Game this Friday for the grand opening of the new Dunkin' in Spring Hill, located at 2098 Wall Street. Stop by and grab some coffee and register for giveaways from 7 to 9 a.m. 1025 1063 The Game.
Tasha, can you maybe like clear up? I know we probably asked you about the knee before, but that unusual report that said you actually maybe didn't have an ACL in one knee, is that actually mm-hmm. true? And how do you deal with that, I guess?
I was out there. I did everything, so I feel perfectly fine. Nothing wrong with me. I'm healthy.
Is it a situation where you just compensate with the strength of everything else around the knee?
No, I'm healthy.
You're healthy, but do you have an ACL in that knee?
I am healthy.
Tajay Spears, Titans running back, says, I am healthy. All very fair questions from the media, considering it was reported that he has no ACL and he has arthritis in his knee. But Tajay Spears says, I am healthy. And Willie, you said that there was a certain former Nashville athlete and whose injury history kind of reminded you of Tajay Spears and what we can expect in terms of his health moving forward.
Well, if you listen to our show on Monday when we were talking about Spears and this the whole issue, I brought up Kumar Rocker, and I almost feel like I jinxed him or something like that, because here
it's
we are today.
Fault,
Willie. and I hate it, you know, because if you watch Vanderbilt baseball and you watch them lose in the College World Series final in 2021 in Omaha. I've watched Tim Corbin for a long, long time. I see him get very sullen. I see him get very reflective. I don't know if I've ever seen him get as emotional as he did for a player when Kumar Rocker, he was a losing pitcher in the championship game in 2021. But you could just tell how much Rocker meant to the team, to Tim Corbin, just as a guy, right? Just as a human, as a teammate, competitor, just a special, special guy. So most of you know the story, but I'll repeat it quickly. The Mets drafted Rocker a little bit later that summer, 2021.
High in the first round.
10th pick, and he actually fell lower than a lot of people thought. A lot of people thought for a couple years he probably would be the first pick in the draft. But he slid down. The Mets took him. Of course, me being a Mets fan, I'm going, me and Teron are like, here we go. We got Kumar. This is awesome. A couple months later, the Mets mysteriously. Now, Kumar Rocker was healthy for 3 years at Vanderbilt. Never missed a start, went to the post, was as productive from an innings perspective, from an efficiency perspective. He was a true ace. They won a national title when he was a freshman. Of course, his sophomore year got wiped out because of COVID. And then 2021, they lost in the championship game. So he was about as great as you could be, decorated. The Mets walked away because they saw his medicals, and they didn't like what the future they thought would hold with his arm. And the following year, he went back into the draft, and the Texas Rangers drafted him with the 3rd overall pick. So they obviously saw the same medical reports that the Mets saw. The Rangers were okay with it. They invested the money, and they made him their first-round pick. So there was a ton of people around baseball circles that were basically saying, look, somebody here is either really, really smart or really, really dumb. And the Rangers are either going to look like one or the other after what the Mets went through. Or the Mets, and of course, me, knowing the history of the Mets are often
They're
often not the smartest franchise that have come down the pike.
The Mets and Jets.
So I'm sitting there going, oh, man, because I know Kumar Rocker, the person, right? I know how tough he is and how hard he's going to work and everything like that. But a really sad day yesterday because they reported that he's going to have the Tommy John surgery. Mm-hmm. So since the Mets walked away, he's had a shoulder surgery, and then now he's going to have to go take the next 12 to 18 months is the typical time frame for Tommy John. Hopefully after that, he'll be okay, and he could still have a great major league career, which is what I'm hoping for. But that did remind me, this is why I brought it up on Monday, about the whole medical report on a player like Spears for the Titans, right? There was a lot of questions when that report came out from Ian Rappaport, because it sounded similar to me, even though he had already had the surgeries. Like, Rocker didn't have a bunch of surgeries coming up through high school or anything like that.
But medical question marks.
Medical question marks. Like, there's nothing like a pitcher's arm. Like, you can't tell what's going to happen with a pitcher's arm. You could be perfectly healthy your whole life and still end up having Tommy John surgery or shoulder issues, whatever. But knees, obviously, were very important for a running back. Mm-hmm. You know, and so knowing all this, I would imagine the same type of debate took place in a lot of rooms when they were evaluating Spears. Like, okay, look, this guy has been unbelievably productive. He looks like he's got all the intangibles. He can fly. But is his medical history something that we can really invest in? Can we take the chance? So it reminds me of the same thing people were saying about the Rangers when they drafted Kumar last summer. They're either going to look really, really smart or not so smart at all. And still, there are many chapters to be written for Kumar, and I'm rooting for him. And again, just knowing him, the person, the competitor, I feel like he'll find a way to have a good career. And so Spears, I don't know as well, obviously, but the Titans, you know, they clearly believe in him, the person, the competitor, the worker. But there were a lot of people that probably said to themselves, we can't draft this guy, right? We can't draft him because knowing what we know about the medicals, or at least what we think we know, what we hear, that this is just not a great investment for the timetable. The odds are not for him staying out there. And so it's going to be an interesting debate. The Titans could look really smart or not so smart, depending on how his career goes.
And looking hyper-specific at the Titans, understanding the Titans' injury history over the past couple of years and how detrimental injuries have been to their seasons, and also with how much importance the Titans place on the running back position. Of course, this year it's going to be the Derrick Henry show, but it's not going to be the Derrick Henry show forever. So keeping that in mind in the usage of Tajay Spears moving forward once Derrick Henry is no longer on the Titans.
Yeah, I mean, it's either going to be hit or miss. Either we're going to be, you know, sitting here, you know, next year after the season's done, saying, hey, listen, the Titans got a steal in the draft. Not a steal based on, I think every NFL team looked at the numbers and was like, and looked at the film like, this kid's outstanding. 1,500 yards, rushing close to 20 touchdowns, and he can catch the ball out the backfield. So I'm sure many teams looked at that and thought, this is, he's a late first round prospect, early second round guy. But then you look at the medicals and you're like, man, I can't take him that high. I just can't. I can't justify drafting a guy that has knee issues this high, because if he gets injured that first year, then what? Now people are looking at us like we're crazy. But the Titans felt, okay, third round, this is a good place to draft a guy that is highly productive but may have a question mark with the knee. If they get, you know, 3 or 4 years, good years out of them, then it's a win for them. It is. It's truly a win for them. And anything on top of that is icing on a cake. But if it doesn't work that way, we are going to be addressing this. Whether it happens during the season this year, which I pray to God it doesn't, or next year, which I pray to God it doesn't. But if something happens with Tajay Spears injury-wise to his lower extremities, we're always going to come back to he already had knee problems, and you still drafted him that high. Not that you drafted him. It's that you drafted him in a third round.
See, that's the thing. That's what the thing that's hard on top of everything else, I would think, for Rocker, too, because every time, if and when he makes it to the majors, and I believe he will, because when he's been in the minors, he's dominated, right, when he has been out there. They've been careful with him for obvious reasons, and he was – I pointed out his stats. I was like, he's doing really well the other day, and then the next day we find out he's going to have the surgery. But every time he takes the mound, I'm sure there's going to be like some eggshells, like, boy, I hope he makes it through another start. Oh, I hope he can make it through the next month or the next season, because it's going to follow him. The history follows him. That's what I worry about for Spears. Like, you just heard that sort of uncomfortable exchange with Spears, because he knows he's going to have to deal with this. And there's nothing he can do about it, right? All he can do is go out and play.
And I know every time Tajay Spears hits the field, every time he runs, I'm going to...
Yeah, everybody's going to be watching.
Don't touch him.
And that's not his fault. Me. That's not his fault.
Tackle
right?
him softly.
Yeah. Go easy on him. He's just a baby. But, I mean, and the reality is, any player, running back, wide receiver, whatever player, can blow their knee out at any instant.
That's
knock
the reality.
On all the wood. That's the reality. But knowing what you know about a player and knowing that he's coming into the league with knee problems and knowing some of the positions that you could have drafted in that place. And we can talk about that all day long.
Yeah.
You know, 10 years from now, we could have said, well, the Titans really should have taken this guy in the third round instead of that guy. But it's already a pick that's being picked apart under the microscope. So if the fear of us, of the fans, is confirmed that Tajay Spears' knee won't hold up, then that's going to look even worse. But look, I mean, I think we're all hoping and praying that Tajay Spears is going to be a very successful and very effective running back for this team for years to come. But the skepticism is totally fair and justified. Jonathan Hutton will join us coming up next. Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow. Caroline Willie, D-Mays, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.